Hi, class. Welcome to Church Unusual. Matthew chapter 16. And we're clear. We've gone over this a few times. Verse 18, he says, upon this rock I'll build my church. We're going about the gates of hell, not the keys of the kingdom, whatever you bind, or bound in heaven. For years, I heard ministers preach on that scripture, and we would shout and get excited about, you know, the keys of the kingdom and the revelation is revealed to you. And then we would speak messages about revelation knowledge, and we would stop there. And one of the things I'm real a stickler about, I think this Church Unusual, you were in this class last year, the Living by the Book. I'm a stickler about context and about not being biblically selective just because of your message. Because if you're biblically selective, what I mean by that is you pick a couple words out. So if you preach about revelation knowledge, you go to that scripture and read revealed. And then you preach just that part about being revealed, but you don't preach the whole context of what everything is saying to you. And so for the longest, I've heard preachers go over and over and over again and stop at that verse 19. And then we shout and we go and try to live in incomplete revelation. Something I learned, when you see in the scripture, you can go find these scriptures for yourself. I'm not going to turn there. But there's a scripture talking about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, right? When you see those things, it's telling you the different levels that you can be on or different levels that you can be stuck on. You can be stuck at 30 and never go to 60. You can be stuck at 60 and never go to 100, right? And so it tells me that sometimes you can be living an incomplete revelation or an incomplete lifestyle. Same thing with the parable about the talents in Matthew 25. One he gave one, one he gave two, one he gave five. Then he says this, according to their several ability, which means that whoever had five had more ability than the one that had two. Otherwise, he would have had the five, right? So it tells me that there's also an unlimited, there are unlimited levels to God, but it depends on what measure we meet. And so there are some times that we can be living an incomplete revelation or an incomplete idea or an incomplete belief or have incomplete belief systems with God because we hadn't gone all the way. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there was testified of me. Verse 40, once again, that's one of the scriptures we never really go to. We read verse 39 and begin to preach off of it. Verse 40 nails it home, and it says, but you will not come to me, Jesus is talking, that you receive eternal life. So even here, I heard preachers, you know, preach, you know, all the way up to verse 19, and then we shout and we try to live the message from that, try to get revelation knowledge, try to live off of revelation knowledge, when we don't even understand that the next scriptures, and maybe even the next scriptures in the chapter after this, is explaining how revelation knowledge works. What is actually really, really being revealed to you? What's actually going on? And so now in verse 18, I know it says the church. So it says, upon this rock I'll build my church, right? But we really don't know what that is or how that looks or the character of that. You know, we see the results, keys of the kingdom, bound on earth, bound in hell, loose on earth, loose in heaven, right? We see that, we see gates of hell shall not prevail. But if you've been in the church as long as I've been in the church or any time in the church, you realize that the extent of what he explains is not the full flow of what we've been having. If we be honest, everybody can say amen right now. And so what is the holdup? What is the dam that's blocking our river from flowing as a whole, but also individually, okay? So here we are, and in the character of the church, what does it look like? And for the longest, the church has become, I was listening to a conversation the other day, and there's a phrase out called church hurt, and people saying they got church hurt because they came to church and were hurt because something happened there. Some of you may have said the phrase before, church hurt, and I understand it, I get it, right? But I think church hurt, all of it comes from the same place, a deception. The church has been promising things that it was never supposed to be and never supposed to do. And then people come to church expecting things that were never supposed to be expected of a church or of an organization. So we've made the church into a hospital. It's been a place to fix people, right? We relegated the church to a charitable organization. And so we've been given handouts instead of hand-ups. What's the difference? Well, if I keep giving to the poor and that same person is poor next year, then I'm a failure. The effort that I'm giving is a failure. Jesus even said, well, the poor you have, but you always. and they tried to talk to him about the orders point on him for to be crucified. They said, we could have gave it to the poor. And of course, Judas was lying because he's a thief, right? But he says, the poor you have, which you always, but she's preparing me for my burial. I mean, this is more important. All right, so if you keep giving to the same organization, the same poor people, you see, and they stay there the next year, then something you're doing isn't right, because we should get over handouts and start doing hand-ups. Jesus, take hands and tell them to get up. This is what we're called to do. But we don't know this unless there are things that we've decided to deny about ourselves, things that we firmly and dedicatedly believe that need to be denied about ourselves, that maybe we've been taught from somebody else or taught from some other thing, or makes us feel good, or give us a pat on our back, we have to deny them. So the character of the church starts to get explained in verse 20. And it's amazing to me, and I'm going to say some things and I'm going to not say some things. So I don't want you to hear something that I'm not saying, but watch this. Verse 20, then charged he disciples, he tells them all this stuff about the keys of the kingdom, everything, right? Then he said, then charged he his disciples, they should not tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That don't seem like it's the proper thing to do. We need to go tell it. Don't tell nobody that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, that from time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples not how, that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things unto the elders and the chief of priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Now you got to realize he's showing what the church should look like based on versus what the church was looking like at the time. The church, the synagogue, the scribes, the Pharisees, those were the church people. And he was like, listen, your idea of what church is going to crucify me. They're going to persecute me because I look different. They're going to persecute me because I'm talking different. They're going to persecute me because I'm manifesting different. They're going to take me and they're going to kill me, right? But I'm going to rise up on the third day. He's trying to explain what the character of church really is, what his idea of what the church should look like. Then verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, today I'm not going to get on Peter that much. I'm not going to stay on Peter because this was all part of the plan. Peter needed to say this so that there can be an example made, and it was an exposer of what we think or how we can be or how we can function. Even the best of us, all our preachers and all our great leaders and everything, it shows where we can be in this process. He says, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now you just said you had the revelation of the Christ. Well, this is the revelation of Christ in verse 22. Verse 21, Christ starts to explain to him, oh, you got the revelation? Okay, cool, so you already know how it's about to go down. This is what it looks like. This is what church looks like. Church has become a hospital and a place for bandages and mending people. Listen to what I'm trying to say. When we've never taught them, verse 23, but he turned unto Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. For thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He's trying to teach us something now. Now I know this is dangerous. this message is dangerous because all of y'all are in churches somewhere or whatever. And this is dangerous because it makes you start to look around like, hold on, is this of men or this of God? Are we savoring some idea that somebody came up with, or can I find it in the scripture? Verse 24, then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, that is, he's about to teach us what the church looks like. He's about to teach us what we should be teaching at the church. He's about to teach us what we should be, what the character of a man of God, or a woman of God, what the character of the church should be. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is a rare message in the church as a whole. Why? Because it's not an easy one to digest. What? Deny myself? What? I'm trying to love myself. They told me to love myself. They told me to self-care, right? They told me self-love. No. He said deny. He's giving the character of the church. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit that he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory and the Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. From these scriptures now, he begins to explain what the character of the church really should be and what the foundation. I know we say the ABCs of faith and we're teaching about faith and love and all these different things, but the first thing you need to understand is the beginning of following Jesus is denying yourself. He said, why is that the beginning? Because there's things that you and I, all of us, have picked up that wasn't lined up with the thoughts of Christ. And we've taken all these things and made a big gumbo, a big melting pot, and said, hey, this is who we are. And we're showing up with our attitudes, and we're showing up with our quirks, and we're showing up with our insecurities, and we're showing up with our depressions, and we're showing up with our high-mindedness, and we're showing up with our pride, and we're showing up with our ego, and we're showing up with all these things, this false humility, this faith. We're showing up with all these things, and we develop them into who we are. No, 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 no. No, deny yourself, dismantle that. This is the message of the church. So now what has happened is people have come to the church, right? And I'm not saying that hurting people can't come to the church. It's not what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that hurting people can't come to the church. But when hurting people come to the church, do you just put a Band-Aid on it? One of the things, one of the problems I've had over the years with a lot of physicians, I remember earlier this year that the whole COVID thing was going on. That's why I know I won't get on that. But I ended up getting COVID for a minute. And I remember going to the doctor and I was getting checked. And I just, well, not even go to the doctor. I just was going to get tested to see what was going on. And so they were all nice to him, whatever. And they tell me, the lady said, yeah, come back. It came back positive. You know, you got that. So she begins to give me instructions on, well, stay home. You know, the normal jargon, quarantine for 10 days. You know what I'm saying? Drink a lot of liquids and call us if you have a problem. That was the extent of my instructions. You know, and they actually got any heaviness, hardness of breathing. I didn't have any of that. I just was, all right, woman, I just need to go sit down so I can go and get past this. I got stuff to do, right? But it's amazing to me that there were studies that I did on my own that told me that certain foods, certain dairy products and certain meat products and certain sugar products, certain things were not good for me because at the time because it develops mucus. And mucus is the biggest agent in this whole thing, why people can't breathe and why people are having problems breathing, because it's stopped up with this mucus and the different things of the nature. So it would make sense that somebody would tell you, hey, don't go get a burger on your way home. Hey, stay away from dairy. Hey, stay away from sugar, sugary drinks. Stay away from those things because it's going to prolong or even increase your problem. But nobody told me that. Wonderful lady, nice lady, but didn't tell me. And one of the problems I've had with some physicians, not all, but some physicians over the years is that you mend me and you medicate me, but you don't manifest me. That's a good one. You mend me and medicate me, but you don't teach me how to manifest. In other words, you take care of my immediate problem and you patch it up, but you don't tell me the thing that I need to do to keep from being in that position again. And so thus, I can almost describe the church. So I make you feel good on Sunday. I tell you that God is going to bless you. Tell you that God is going to favor you. I tell you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I tell you that what you bind, everybody in heaven. I tell you all these different things. I even go to scripture. What you bind, I give you the keys. What you bind, everybody in heaven. That gates of hell shall not prevail. But I don't explain to you how this happens because it's understood in verse 24. First of all, you cannot, well, 23, first of all, you can't be savoring the things of men more than you savor the things of God. This is church. The second, if you're going to come, if this is what you want to do, if this is the lifestyle you want, deny yourself. And not only deny yourself, but take up the cross and follow me. So when the hurt people do come, yes, yes, we do mend. Yes, we mend the broken hearts. Yes, we recover and recite to the blind. Yes, yes, heal the brokenhearted. Yeah, we do all that, yes. But then we teach them that the reason you were brokenhearted in the first place, the reason you were blind in the first place, the reason you were whatever else ailment that there was is because you have not learned to deny yourself. Now, deny yourself sounds like deprive yourself, but it's not the same thing. Denying yourself means that I'm denying this version of me that doesn't look like the God version of me. When Jesus spoke to the man at the pool of Bethesda and told him, take up your bed and walk, that was his lifestyle. He had been there for 30-something years. That was the way that he was functioning. This is how he saw himself. I'll prove it because he said he was just waiting for somebody to help him get in the pool when the angel stirs the water. So here we go now. This is the self that he saw himself as. So when Jesus says, take up your bed and walk, he's commanding him to deny himself. When he talks to the blind man and spits in the dirt and makes spittle and put it in his eyes and tells, watch this, watch how crazy this is. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, God, dog, I'm blind. How am I going to get there? How am I going to find any pool, nevertheless, a specific one called Siloam? I'm blind. But his words and his instructions were causing him to deny himself, to deny the current form, forsaking the current form of what he saw himself as. And on this way, and on the way, and as he washed, his eyes are open because there was a denial that happened. So deliverance begins with denial. People are coming to church looking to be delivered, but we're not teaching them to deny these old ways. Now, we say stuff, we talk about sin, yeah, like what and whatever that is, right? We don't even know that sin means missing the mark. Missing the mark of what? The mark of who you really are. Sin means you're living in a self that's fabricated by the system. You're living and functioning and then producing a self, a version of self that is fabricated and intoxicated by the system. Fabricated, intoxicated, inebriated, all this by the system. And so we bring them in and we get them in a new members class. And then we call it discipleship class. I'm not really down for discipleship classes anymore because discipleship class, I'm not really excited about the disciples. Discipleship, let's call it something else. Because discipleship class doesn't necessarily mean that the disciples are going to carry out everything Jesus called them to do. We have proof in these scriptures. We need to have Jesus classes. We need to have a deny yourself class. Yeah, how about that? Now, I don't know if a lot of people sign up for that because nobody really wants to deny yourself because they don't understand what deny yourself really means. Deny yourself means deny the limited version of you so that you can be alive to the unlimited version of God in you. This is all it means. But I think even the way Jesus said it, we live in a society where it's go get it for yourself. You can have what you want. You can have what you say. You can speak it into existence. You can manifest things. Yeah, you sure can. I learned something about God, and I see it in the church right now. I learned something about God. The children of Israel said, we want a king. He said, y'all don't need a king. He told the prophet, tell them, don't, they don't need a king. Just keep listening to the prophet. No, we want a king. They got one. We want one. He said, y'all don't need a king. And then he goes and explains. He said, the king is going to take your children. He's going to take your daughters and do whatever he wants. He's going to take your sons and going to put them, make them one. They're going to be dying. He's going to do all kind of stuff. Yeah. We hear you, God, but we want a king. And I believe they probably didn't believe the prophet. The crazy thing I saw, and I had to realize this, and this taught me so much about God our Father, right? God is not about yeses or noes. God is not about, he's not about goods and bads. God is about alignment or not alignment. Either you're in line or you're not. My will is what it is regardless. My will is what it is, whether you hear me or not. People are talking about they want to hear the voice of God, but how can you hear the voice of God when you're not hearing this? I'm going to jump. Verse 17, and we'll read it a little bit for sake of time. You can read it and it transfigure, and Jesus transfigures, and Elias and Moses come down and talk to him. And then Peter starts talking about, Lord, it's good. Let's build three tabernacles. And the voice of God comes out of the sky. Verse 17, verse 5, while you speak, a bright cloud overshadowed him, behold, the voice in the cloud and said, listen to this. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Everybody talking about they want to hear God, but have you heard Jesus yet? Now, y'all know where I'm going right now. These red words. There are things that you're trying to get a revelation knowledge of that are written plainly in the red words. But Jesus says you won't come to me. I want it. God, I want to hear your voice. It's all over here. We've got to let the red word spread. It's like the veins. You ever seen the diagram of the body? And you'll see the x-ray diagram of the body because they're showing where the body parts at. But there's little lines and little veins, and it's taking the blood to every extremity of your body to your feet and to your hands, and the blood is coming up to your brain and keeping you alive, going down to your feet and all your different organs. It's keeping everything in function. You say your arm will go to sleep, or your foot will go to sleep, or something like that, or you lean on your hand too long and it go to sleep, right? That's just because there's a restriction of blood going there for a quick little minute, and so it feels numb. But if there's a part of your life that feels numb, sometimes the church feels numb because they haven't let the red blood of Jesus and his red word spread into the character and the foundation of the church. We built it off of Paul, and we built it off Ephesians, and we built it off Corinthians, and we built it off of Romans, and we built it off of Proverbs, and we built it off of Psalms, and we built it off of Nehemiah, we built it off of Jeremiah, we built it off of Isaiah, and we've overlooked the red words. We've got to allow these words to spread into every other thing that we see in the scripture. Otherwise, there will be an incomplete vision of what's going on. Jesus says this, and watch this, and this is how I know that even things that seem to be working good or seem to be moral or seem to be on the right path can be incomplete. Because he said, I did not come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. Well, if you come to fulfill it, that means it wasn't fulfilled before. That means the actions that were being lived and everything were still incomplete. Maybe that they were on the right direction, but they were incomplete. And so Jesus begins to complete the church. If any man come, let him deny himself. And whether you're here or not, it's a freedom. Now, it doesn't sound like freedom at first. It's almost like, Apostle started teaching on health, and it doesn't sound like freedom at first, because now I'm like, oh, I got to deprive myself of all the stuff that I like. Yet all the stuff that you like is killing you, and you don't even know, because your mind, you've been raised on it, and your mind been in that direction for so long that it feels like it's a ripping apart. It almost hurts to rip you apart from these things you think are okay. There are a lot of insecurities, a lot of depressions that we deal with, and a lot of oppressions, and a lot of confusions in our minds, and a lot of things. And then we come to the church, right? And the church doesn't teach us that the beginning of healing is deny yourself. Never heard that before, have you? Yeah, the beginning of your healing is deny yourself. And so we've got to infuse these words. And there's so many other words that Jesus is saying in the red words. And I don't be having enough time to teach them like I want to. But there's so many other words, but we have to infuse these words and let the red that's in the middle of the Bible and the God, let it bleed into everything else. If you're trying to function in something outside of red words without the red word visions, or without the eyes, the red eyes, then you're going to do it incomplete. And eventually it's going to be a perpetual cycle of incompletion. Former godliness, but denying the power thereof. Seem right. You almost got it. 34. That ain't where it's at, and that's not what Jesus intended for the church. And so we have to go on, and so now he has to sit there and watch us function. God bless the New Testament church and the Book of Acts and all that stuff like that, but Jesus said, function like me. And I know God will let you choose what you want, and in the grace and mercy will try to cover you as long as he can, but he'll still be not pleased with the way that you came out and how you did it. And he's not about, I want to get back to this because I had a thought in my head and I don't want to miss it. God is not about yeses or noes, right? He's about alignment and unalignment. Are you lining up with the way that I set it up to be? And it becomes your choice. It's amazing how God does it. He builds the world and makes the earth and creates man in his image and his likeness and makes everything beautiful and give you dominion and everything. He said, but they got one tree that you're not supposed to eat of. And then why would he do this? Why would he put the tree in the middle of the garden, the one that he don't want you to touch? First of all, why did he even create it? Ever thought about that? But then secondly, he's going to put it in the middle of the garden until you don't eat from it. What's going on? God is trying to teach you how to align. He didn't create robots. He created wills and living wills that can make choices. But I'm trying to teach you how to align. And the quickest way to get into alignment right now is to deny yourself whatever it is, even the good stuff for now. The stuff he's doing, no, I won't deny that. No, all that. He started talking about leaving houses and lands and mothers and fathers and wives and children. This man said, and it's obvious, he says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. Deny yourselves again, not the gifts of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit, not prophecy. You don't even need a revelation for that. Like, if he's going to reveal something to you, he's going to reveal to you the stuff that you need to deny about yourself. You want a revelation knowledge? Give me revelation, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Show us the way. Give us the glory. The glory is going to show you what's the problem and what the thing you need to deny. And this is why we have to say church unusual. Church has become usual because it savors the thing of men. It savors the thing that we think it's supposed to be. We done put all this stuff together and come up with these fabricated ideas, and then Jesus says something different. And now it's time to deny yourself.